Hey, good morning, kids. How are y'all? Good. Okay. We have five candles on the Advent wreath. Does anybody know what candles are? Okay, little Tim, which one? They are made of wax, probably not from your ears, but can anybody name the Advent candles? Anybody name the Advent candles? Ethan, what do you think? Okay. Will? Okay, you just missed one, and that's the one we're going to talk about today, and that's a prophet candle. There's prophets, angels, and this is a shepherd's candle here, and then the magi candle, and what's a candle that's going in the middle? Well, the Christ candle, right? And so we're going to talk about the prophets here a little bit, but I'm going to need you guys' help. Jeremiah, come here. Jeremiah, I want you to go. You see where Phoenix is? Stand over by the wall and unfold that. What is that? Star. Okay, and that represents what? Little Tim? Amen. That represents the first, good, but first, what are we talking about? First Advent. There we go. Caleb, take this card and stand all the way over here. Okay, there's a wide gulf between where Caleb is and where Jeremiah is, right? Okay, we're going to talk about that. Will, come here. Stand right about here. Yeah, little Tim, you stand right next to Will. You stand right next to Will and Jeremiah. Stuart, you go stand there too. Hey, Ethan, you want to stand over there too? Okay, take this card with you. Go stand over there with those guys. Over here, where Caleb is. This is at the dawn of human history. This is Genesis. Okay? This is in the Garden of Eden. Where Caleb is where the difference is what we're talking about between where God made his first promise to man, the first prophecy, was what? Does anybody know? Even people in the audience. It was something he said to Eve. And he said, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will strike his heel. Prophecy, right? Who is the seed of the woman? Jesus Christ. First prophecy right here at the beginning of time, beginning of recorded history. So we come all the way over here where the guys are standing, and we know this is at least 40 generations from the time of Adam and Eve. Generations is kind of difficult to say how much time we're talking about here. And so this is the prophecies of Isaiah, the prophecies of Micah, the prophecies of Jeremiah, all happened here at this time. So when Christ is talking, or when Isaiah is talking about, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, that all happens right here. So from where Caleb is to here, and then where Jeremiah is, this span is about 700 years. Okay? Now that's quite a bit of time. Quite a bit of time, right? Quite a bit of time. And I guess God didn't say anything else between that time, right? Moses also prophesied about Jesus. Juliana, come here. David also prophesied about Jesus. We had prophets, we had regular people just walking around throughout this whole period of time prophesying about the coming of Jesus. You know how many prophecies there are in the Old Testament about Jesus coming? They say there are over 400. 400 prophecies. Directly and indirectly talking about the coming of the Messiah. Some are very specific, like David talking about the wounds that he would suffer on the cross. Like Isaiah talking about, or Micah talking about Bethlehem being the lowest of all the nations, and yet a Savior is going to come from you. They say that for Jesus not to be the Messiah, for Jesus not being the Christ, if it could be anybody else, it would be the chance of taking a Kennedy half dollar and taking Kennedy half dollars and filling the state of Texas up to your kneecaps, dropping that Kennedy half dollar that you had in your hand, put a red X on it and drop it in the middle of that, and then walking into that state, reaching down and picking up that half dollar through all of those half dollars. That's the chance that it wasn't Jesus. The prophecies are very specific. From the beginning of our history, from the beginning of time, all the way till when Jesus came, how very specific it was who the Messiah is. Do you all understand? Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world, without a doubt. And God made sure that we knew that from the very beginning of our history, without a doubt. Thank you all.
All right, Stephen, I need you to go by, stand by the back door. With, okay. Guys, you're dismissed to Kid Zone, so go ye merry way. I saw all the cards that Stephen had in his hand. I thought all of us are going to be standing up all over the neighborhood in a few minutes. Let's pray real quick. Father God, we are blessed to be in your presence. And God, I was listening to Stephen speak about the prophets. Lord, I can't grasp this. I can't comprehend this. But all of us in this room were on your mind way back at the beginning. And Lord, you had an end in sight. You have a view and a plan and a purpose. And the fact is, God, most of the time we probably don't engage you on that until we need you. But Lord, my prayer for us today is a very simple one, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit will it come to fruition. That is this, that we will want you, that we'll move way past the need to a hunger and a thirst for a want that's only supernatural. So Lord, we thank you for loving us without limitations, without strings attached. Now, Lord, may we reciprocate that back. No strings attached. Just an agape kind of love. In Jesus' name, amen. This time of the year, we will hear the word joy spoken about quite often. Because it is a joyful time of the year. I remember growing up in our little Methodist church back in Kentucky, and I would take the bulletin this time of year, and it always had a little calendar on the back of it about events, kind of like the email that Dusty sent out to us a couple of days ago about events. And I can remember looking at the events that were listed that were past Christmas and thinking, oh man, Christmas is going to be over by the time that happens. Looking forward to the 25th, but then thinking, yeah, but by that event on January whatever, it's going to be over. And back to school, back to the routine. The gifts will be opened. I wonder what I'm getting this year. Back to the real life. And that was even as a young kid. And as I think about that this morning, I'm thinking, hey, joy. It's something that God has offered as a permanent thing in our lives. Is that what would be different in your life if tomorrow morning you woke up and you were actually not just full of joy, but as the Holy Spirit's in you, as part of the fruit of the Spirit, you wanted to display joy. How about if you had a desire tomorrow morning to say, I want to display joy to the world I'm in, plus other parts of the fruit of the Spirit. I read a story this week in 1931 on Christmas Eve. This is a true story. A couple and two young people were traveling through the Arizona desert. This was long before Enmark and Parkers and Chews, okay? They're in the desert and they're traveling. They had car trouble. And the husband gets out of the car and they goes to work on the fuel line. And the lady kind of has to wander off in the desert to probably just spend some time out of the car without two young children in it. And they're out miles away from a town. And she come across a hat box. A hat box, for those who don't know, is just a round, kind of a big box. Anyway. And she heard a noise. Inside was a baby. She takes the hat box back to her husband and says, look, I found a baby in the desert, and it's Christmas Eve. What do we do? Long story short, they took the baby to the nearest town. They gave them to a child services back then. And the young baby, a young lady by the name of Sharon Elliott, was adopted. And she lives in Arizona. She is retired from the aerospace workforce today. In 1931, a young baby was out in the middle of the desert, and God, through His sovereignty, ordained a divine appointment to bring much joy to both the discovered and the discovery. Now think about something for just a moment. If God desires to impart His joy to you today, then this is a divine appointment for not just a small smidgen of a window of a season that we call Christmas, but He desires for you to have a joy that lasts all year round. And that is something today that we have to embrace, church, because as if we're living in a lost generation, a dying world, a world that is very dysfunctional and very broken, then how much more practical than being the salt and the light through the joy that you display? Now, I understand that when we talk about sharing our faith, a lot of times we talk about engaging people, telling our testimony, telling about Jesus. But how about if we start with something so practical, so easy, something that we shouldn't even have to think about, and that is, how about the joy on your face? How about the joy on your face in a lost and dying world? What a practical way, very relevant in this season of our life, to display joy. But I have a very simple question for you. How joyful do you feel today?
Happy.
Happy? Okay. How joyful are you today? What's your joy quotient? Do you really wake up each morning with more of a lack of joy? A lack of hopelessness? A lack of, I hope I can just get through one more day, thinking maybe tomorrow will be a little bit better? Because God's plan is the eternal plan, is for us to have a joy that's unspeakable. John, go ahead and put the first. The title of today's message is Joy for All Seasons. John, you go ahead. We start out with the part of the classic of the Christmas story. By this point, we pick up in Luke 1, 39 through 44. The angel has already appeared to Mary and thrown a curve for her, saying, hey, you're going to be pregnant with the Savior, and it's not even going to be by man, it's going to be a miracle. And Mary is already in bewilderment of this news. So then we pick up in the story, what does Mary do next? In Luke 1, 39 through 44, it says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Who was that baby? John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. First of all, Mary has to be thinking, how in the world did she know? She's a woman. Intuition. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Let's pause in that story for just a moment and realize something. That John the Baptist in the womb recognized the working of God and expressed joy before the work came to fruition. So I want you to understand today, if you desire to have some joy in your life, why don't you embrace God's promise in your life and begin to leap for some joy? Sometimes you just physically got to do it. I mean, sometimes you just got to physically do it. I bet you yesterday, Scott Gladden almost thought about leaping when Georgia Tech scored that touchdown at the end of the game. Did you leap, Scott? You did. Scott Gladden leaped because he was ecstatic because he gets to talk trash to all the UGA fans, right? And for 1 year, he gets to gloat. For 1 year. But I want you to think about something for just a second. Either you're leaping for joy in life, or you're oppressed by the burden of life. So what are you? Are you leaping for joy? Are you so oppressed that the burden of life literally can sometimes have you bent over? I mean, just this past week, just this past month, have any of you actually had moments in the morning when you're like, I just can't get out of bed today. Life is more than I can stand. That is not God's plan, not just for the Christmas season, but for 365 days a year, every day. That He wants you to leap for joy. He wants you to be excited about getting up and being useful in the kingdom of God. I also read a story this week about when some missionaries went to northern Alaska. They came across a group of Eskimos that did not have the written word of God. And when they came to translate the word joy, The Eskimos in the northern part of Alaska did not have a word for joy. So they were at a loss as to what to do. So what they did was, instead of forcing the issue, they took a step back and said, well, why don't we observe the Eskimos in their life, in their lifestyle, and see when they would display joy that we could therefore translate it so something they could recognize and relate to. And they noticed something, that when the Eskimos went to feed their sled dogs, that the Eskimos, not the dogs necessarily, the dogs and the Eskimos, became very excited. The Eskimos loved their dogs so much that they became excited. They enjoyed it. And of course, the dogs loved it because they were getting eating. So here's the way, in the northern part of Alaska, these missionaries translated the word joy for their Eskimos in that part. When they came across the word joy in their Bible, it reads, leaping for the wagging of tails. Because the dogs would wag their tails so hard that they realized that was an expression of joy. So they didn't leap for joy, they wagged their tails. Priscilla, you want to display that? You're kind of wiggling right now. You want, huh? is that what she does, Dave, when you feed her something? Hey, you couldn't see her. She really was doing it. I'm not just picking on her. She was really doing it. But I'm asking you to think about something. It's never more important than it is in today's world, guys, to have an unspeakable kind of joy that doesn't just say, I'm joyful for what I see God doing. I'm joyful for what I know God's going to do. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to embrace that, though? Are you willing to embrace that on January 1st, January 2nd? Are you willing to embrace that tomorrow morning? Are you willing to embrace that God still has joy for you when you look at the bills in January from December's purchases? Leaping for joy. Being excited what God's going to do on this earth. Look, if we don't have a joyful lifestyle, then why would we invest in that which God is asking us to invest in? You can't have joy if God is asking you to invest in a difficult relationship. If you don't have joy, why would you want to do it? It becomes work. There's nothing convenient about the Christmas story, by the way. I know sometimes we read, and over these next few weeks, I kind of want you to just put that as a backdrop. What was convenient about anything in the Christmas story? Angels showing up, disrupting lifestyles, have to go register, have to carry a pregnant woman on a donkey, have to find a place to stay. We got stinky shepherds showing up. If nothing else, I got my wife, my son, and now these shepherds roll into town. What is convenient? If we can replace an attitude of convenience with an attitude that says, I'm going to embrace God in my life to display a joy no matter of circumstances, that becomes salt and light. That becomes a powerful testimony. That is a time when you get called in to a situation and you're like, what am I going to say? You're going to display joy. That's what you're going to do. You're going to display joy. Let me tell you some fruits of joy by itself. You know when you use the words like, oh, God's got a plan for your life, and the person you look at like, well, my plan right now stinks, okay? I don't like my plan. I don't want to embrace my plan. I need another plan. I'm down to like Jason was telling us about baseball FCA a few weeks ago. We're down to plan G. And you look at me and you say with a certainty, because let me tell you something. Our world understands inauthenticity very well. You can only fake it for so long. But when you have a joy that wells up inside, then when you look at someone, you say, let me tell you something. I know a God, and He loves you because I love you, and I'm going to walk through this with you, and I can leap for joy, and nothing about this is going to be convenience. They're going to look at you a little differently. And they may not trust you. They may not even want what you have. But they're going to look at you and say, but that person really believes what they're talking about. And by the way, if you think about our story as Christians for just a moment, aren't we really a bunch of crazy people anyway? I'm not just talking about this body. I'm not just talking about Daniel. Okay? I'm not talking about Sadhu Sharma's here today. She thought she was going to get away from being picked on today. No way Sadhu's getting away. Her husband Tim is out serving our country. So Sadhu and the boys are here today. Yes, you can give her very faithful, very faithful. If you see the boys, give them some sweets. She doesn't give me any sweets. Think about this for a second. I walk up to Marilyn Paskowska and she doesn't know Christ. And the first thing I tell her is I believe a guy I've never seen who had a son who was born by a virgin that died and was in this tomb, and then his body disappeared, and no one really, the 500 people saw him afterwards, and all of a sudden he flew up into the sky. Why? Why would anybody? That's a fairy tale. Don't we usually start those stories out once upon a time? But people can see the difference in a lifestyle that has the fruit of joy. Again, there's the fruit of the Spirit. Today I want you to see joy. I want you to see that God has the same desire that He had for the baby in the womb, John the Baptist. And He has that not just for November or whatever it is. He has it the same in January and all the year around. And I know that there's going to be some times in our lives that it's going to be difficult to display it. But God has that desire for it. So we have to embrace that. John, go ahead and go to the next. I don't know how you did the next slide, John. So let's see what John's got for me today. You know, do you have another one on that same slide, John? All right, go ahead, John. All right, there we go. Well, yeah, remember, like I always tell you, I send John the thing, and then he kind of tinkers with it, and then we all get to see what he did with it during the 11 o'clock service. So here's some scriptures. How does it happen in our lives? Paul says in the book of Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. God desires to give you hope that you can have joy regardless of circumstances. We're not talking about momentary circumstantial happiness. We're talking about a joy that wells up from the inside out. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Like I told you, tomorrow morning, if you can wake up and be full of joy and no matter what happens, you're saying, I'm trusting that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to fill me with hope that says I will have joy today. That you're not worried about the circumstances, that you're so full of joy that you're going to trust the truth. And the truth is, the one who died for you has enabled you to be full of hope that joy is possible on a daily basis in a real and tangible way. Because you know what? When we're full of joy, I want you, let me just ask you this real quick. No examples, by the way. No examples. Okay. What's your language tend to be like or your thoughts tend to be like when you're not full of joy and you're angry or you're bitter or you're worried or you're upset or you're anxious? And then you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off. And then you go into the store and you think, God, does Walmart have 26 checkouts and only think that one should be open? Yep. Okay. God, honest to goodness, if I could see my coworker spiritually today, not the physical, I'm sure he or she has horns and a pitchfork. Think about how things can change practically, though. Instead of saying they have horns and a pitchfork, they say, God, my heart's broken for them because they're so lost. And they think there's no hope. And they did have a bad doctor's report. But God, I know you're a God who heals, but I need to love them in spite of them, just like you love me. And it says in Hebrews 2:12-2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When it says the words up there, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, okay? I want you to understand something. It's a very practical thing that that's talking about. He had to go through the cross, but he didn't dwell on the cross. He looked to what God was going to do after the cross. So tomorrow, because Jesus said, tomorrow we got to get up and bear it one more day. We're not bearing the cross for ourselves. We're bearing the cross for His glory and His honor. And so that we know He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And He did it for the joy that was set before him. You know what I always picture right there? Here's this. It's so simple to me. And I'm just telling you my opinion. I can't point to a scripture verse for you right now, okay? It's just so simple. What I picture is, he looked at the table and said, I got to get through this cross to sit down and have a friendship, everlasting meal with my other brothers and sisters, with my Heavenly Father in His presence. They looked past it and he said, I can't wait to be with them. And guess what the best part is? No interruption of sin. So I want you to understand something very simple today. God desires joy for all seasons. Part of that joy for all seasons is looking past things that keep us from looking to Jesus, which steals our joy, which keeps us from displaying the fruit of the Spirit, which is part of that is joy, into a dying, lost world, because we're looking past to see what God is doing, has done, not only in my life, but in our lives. And think of all the divine appointments you're going to have over this next month. That live nativity will give you more divine appointments than you know what to do with if you want to embrace it. And I want you to know that the offering of joy and full of hope is laying right before us today. Right before us. And sometimes, some days, we got to wake up and we say, I don't care what the world, the flesh, the devil throws at me. I know that I serve a Christ who is alive and doing well. And I don't care if you have to say it out loud a million times that day. You're going to keep saying it over and over because you're claiming truth. You're claiming truth. And it might take years because I don't sugarcoat this. I know life can be a struggle. It may take years, but I believe this. One day you're going to wake up and say, breakthrough. Breakthrough. I am walking on the water of joy. Breakthrough. I don't know that's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know that. But I want you to know that God desires that you have joy that's beyond circumstances and is not just for the Christmas season. But we got to look past it. God desires you to leap. By the way, you ever thought about trying that? You know? Well, the other day, we went to see Luke play football on Friday night. And I want you to know something, Rick. BC has a very peculiar playlist, by the way, for their football games for a Catholic school. Play a lot of AC/DC and some other stuff, music that Kathy listens to all the time, but I try to pray for and all that kind of stuff. Had to get a shot in, huh? And they put on a Journey song, and it's at halftime, and I'm sitting there, and it's very, very full, and I'm just kind of sitting there, and I go into my daydream lifestyle. I'm singing and kind of just moving my head like this. Don't stop believing. And Kathy goes, hey, we're in a crowd. I think that's what I said. Pastor said, okay, that's a big deal. There's somebody else in here dancing and singing. I wasn't worried about other people's opinions. I can't sing and I can't dance, but I sure was having a lot of fun. It was a song that struck my heart. Do you understand? Today, the Christmas story needs to strike your heart again. It's easy for some of us here that we've heard it a million times. I know that. I've heard it a bunch myself. But how about this Christmas season? Let's do something. Let's let God tug on that heartstring more time to refresh us, to fill us with hope, and begin to leap for joy. And let's don't settle for a season. Let's tell Him we want it in the summer, and we'll take it in the spring, and we know it's available in the fall. Let's do that. John, last slide. The psalmist says this, joy for all seasons. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because He turned His ear to me, and I will call on Him as long as I live. Dig in and do not give up. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Pay close attention to verse 7. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to me. It's Christmas season. How about letting God give you some restful joy? Let's pray. Father, thank You today for Jesus. That always deserves a good amen. Thank You for Jesus. We could just stop right there. Thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the body of Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the gifts of the Spirit. God, I pray today, whatever good work that You've been doing, keep doing it today. God, help us to press in and take hold of You. Help us to take hold of You and help us to leap for the joy of the Lord. Because God, we know in your word it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we're tired, if we're weary, we don't want to bear that fruit. We want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. God, I pray there in this final moments together, you'd be pleased and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with a couple of worship songs. During that time, you're welcome to bring your cards and your envelopes. And Rick and Dusty and I will be around if you want to pray for us. But go ahead and stand up because we're going to worship together for a couple songs. And then we'll be prayed out. Let's pray. God, the rest of the day, the world, the flesh, and the devil is looking to kill, steal, and destroy. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be wise and discerning and give us favor where we go today, Father. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.